Hello again, I'm Jason Iasatis. This is Outside the Box again, my show. Three fantastic guests returning, and we've got Shai Danon. Shai is so many things, a free thinker, spokesperson for the truth, I suppose, would be a wonderful way to explain Shai, doing tremendous work. Thank you, Shai, for your tremendous work over there in Israel and for being you in these very interesting times. And you can find live.ahava528.com. And that's Shai's platform then, doing tremendous work. Catherine Armitage is a holistic health practitioner and an activist for the truth, a speaker for the truth. Thank you for your great work, Catherine. And then Nicholas Martin, a member of the SUN, SaveUsNow.org. Been working with Mark Steele quite a lot, who's been a guest on this show, and I've done conferences with Mark. So listen, everybody, thank you very much. And we're here to talk about, well, where do you want to go with this today? I mean, Shai, you've got so much information about what's going on over there. I could fire questions at you, but do you want to open, Shai, and talk about what you think is the most important thing to talk about today?
Yes, there's so many. I can start with a quick update about what's going on in Israel, because I know you get on the MSM, you get a lot of stuff, and even here in Israel, we get a lot of stuff on the mainstream media. Most of it, I can tell you frankly, most of it is bullshit. Most of it is lies. Not to say there's some bits of truth are not there. There are. But the cover, the whole wrapping is based on lies. So we need to see things as they are as best as we can. So basically, I would say like that. A few weeks ago, something started in Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And then the... I would say the Muslim people start like a small uprising, all right? 2 weeks ago, roughly, the Israeli military announced that it's going out for an exercise, a military exercise that's going to last 1 month. It's going to be the largest ever in Israel. And it's going to simulate an attack on all fronts on Israel, outside and inside. 2 days later, the military announced the exercise has been postponed to the 18th, which is a couple of days ago. On the 17th, they announced that it's postponed again to the middle of June. But why I'm saying that? Because the exercise already started. I mean, they started, it's going to be an exercise, it started. And then they say, we postpone it. But actually started. How we know? We see reality. In reality, we have a sort of attack on all fronts, on Israel. I mean, again, it's not a major attack. It's still sort of an exercise, but it's to put all of us in a stressful situation. And all of us, I mean, I would say the people who live in Israel, as well as the Arabic nations and Arabic people around us. Now, what's interesting to know is that if you look at the even recent history, go 9/11, at the same day that the airplane hits the towers, there was an exercise simulating an airplane hitting the towers. You go in London, the bombing in the subway in London. On the same day, there was an exercise simulating a bomb in the subway in London. You go the murdering of the Israeli Prime Minister, Yitzhak Rabin. On the same day, on the same hours, there was an exercise simulating, you know, trying to kill a prime minister. You go event 201, just before the corona story. Again, it's an exercise simulating that. You go a month ago, there was like a large, even less than a month ago in Israel, there was a large festival, a religious festival in Tzfat, not so far from me. And a day before, there was an exercise simulating like an event with multiple injuries. Many people died, etc. This was an exercise. The day after, many people died in a crash in this event. So basically what I'm trying to say, they work with the same technique again and again. So they pull out an exercise, and just an exercise for us, and they publish it. And this is their way to tell us, look, guys, this is for real. This is now going to happen. Prepare yourself. So what I'm telling the Israelis, but now it's an opportunity to tell it to others as well. What we experience now in Israel, it's, I would say, a mini exercise towards a military regime. Now, if you look at what happened in Israel in the last few months, they started with the, what they call vaccinations, right? I mean, the injections of these genetically modified substances. And then after that, this was a lab. This was a test bed for these vaccines, so they called. And then England started to get the vaccines, and the States, and Canada, and various other countries. What I'm saying now, that it may be that what we see in Israel, meaning the military is now entering mixed cities like Jaffa, like Haifa, like Akko, like Jerusalem, and so on. And basically, this may come very soon to other countries as well. In other countries, you have what they are called civil unrest. I mean, if you see this, sorry, I know you are well aware of this document from the Rockefeller Foundation. And in this chapter, the lockstep, they speak about civil unrest. So, and this is a plan. I mean, this is a plan. It's not just a document. So when they speak about civil unrest, they would like to see hundreds of thousands of people in the street. Now, if you go to demonstrations and protests, like in the UK, in the States, Germany, Spain, Italy, you actually see tens and hundreds of thousands of people outside in the street shouting no to the New World Order, no to the vaccines, etc. So this is good in their eyes, because this is start to be a civil unrest. In Israel, we didn't have that. People did not go out to protest. The only protest is in next to the house of Bibi, few thousands of people who are shouting at Bibi. But the actual protests against the New World Order and stuff like that, maybe 200 people, maybe 500 people. So they didn't get the civil unrest they wanted to get. So they are pulling the card of the Muslim-Jewish thing in order to get to the military regime, which we know it's part of the plan. So what I'm saying is brace yourself, because what we see in Israel may come sooner than later to other countries. And just a small note, for like on my side, small opinion. What I see, and I spoke with some learned people here, like aware people, at least like me, and we agreed that they are. In speed, too much speed. It's like some things didn't work out quite as they wish they
and
would.
And they know there's a giant awakening and smelling salts.
People
know now. Yeah.
Yes, and they want to fasten things up. So, because some things didn't make up in the last couple of weeks, 3 weeks, some things didn't add up, and we were thinking, what's going on? Now, underneath all this, reminding you, the exercise is for 1 month. They announced a week ago that they will start vaccinating children in schools. So it may be that while the army is deploying its forces in various cities, underneath that, this is like a cover in order to, again, push injections to more and more children now in Israel. I don't know how it will work. I know many people in Israel who took the injections do not want to take more of them. They start to sense at least that something is really dodgy here. And
was
they
it,
don't want
sorry,
to go
sorry,
for
sorry. It. Just before I forget, I think it was Eric Clapton that said one, then two, and he feels dreadful.
Yes.
Eric Clapton,
yes.
And he said, watch out. Right there.
Yes. Also, hey, DMX, the rapper, he died a month ago from these shots. And more people obviously got hurt from them. So it may be that while this exercise is going on and people are afraid and stressful, and anyway the immune system is being harmed by this stress, that they will push forward the vaccination agenda on children in schools.
And then the cashless society comes in, and that's it, we're enslaved, you know, digital now.
Yes. Again, there's more angles to it, but I will stop now, and I want to also hear others. But obviously, if I hear something, I will pop in. No worries. I will.
Yeah, we talked about the positive side,
yes,
as well, which is. Sorry, Nicholas. What did you say?
I've got a lot of positive news.
Yes.
But do you want to go first, Catherine?
I was just saying, because some people can become quite hopeless with all of these things, and Shai has got a very good handle on what's going on in Israel, and I agree with him that this can easily be rolled out, or the plan to be rolled out for the rest of the world. But if we can, all of us, work to keep the vibrations high to keep doing what we can to form new alliances. I'm working with people, the community assemblies, the Freedom Network Hub, people, a big anti-5G movement. A lot of coalitions are being formed with the, between the Common Law Court and the community assemblies. Michael Obanisia, who is taking with the government, raising the private criminal prosecution against Whitty, Balance, Hancock and Ferguson. There's Raina Fulmig, who is working with a coalition of lawyers. There's the World Health Alliance. I think they call them the World Doctors Alliance and the World Freedom Alliance, which is headed up by Professor Dolores Cahill. So there's huge movements of people who are waking up and finding the common ground around the world to work together. And I'm sure you have a coalition, you have coalitions in Israel, the people that you work with, and creating platforms for these people to speak up. That's very important to remember against this horror story that Shai has portrayed to us.
And also, just a quick thing, Nicholas, before you come in there, because I think this is very important also to say to people, the hopelessness is rising now, okay, like Catherine says. So we need positive stuff as well. And one of my new shows are going to be talking about that, about strengthening our spirits and selves, because our wills and our spirits are stolen when we go to school. And when we go in jobs with our bosses and presidents and popes, we're always looking for someone to. But what I want to say about the hopelessness is, so the hopelessness is also sometimes not quite hopeless, because what it does is it forces people to look for something else, and more importantly, forces them to find that strength within themselves again. So sometimes it's the hopelessness that actually is the very thing that transmutes that helplessness into strength. And Bruce Lipton on my show talked about that, because he's a biologist. He said, when you attack a cell in a petri dish, it doesn't give up easily. In fact, it fights for its life. So I just wanted to chuck that in. Sorry, Nicholas. Thank you, Catherine.
There are a number of things I wanted to mention. And last, I'd very much like to come back to Shai's point about a legal case in which Shai you brought. But before that, I just, for a bit of a laugh, you know, you have to have, if you're truthful, if you're a serious person, you've got to have a very good sense of humor, because life is just full of rubbish. And the formation of Israel is a curious case, because, as I mentioned to Shai, my grandfather's cousin was a man called Sir Louis Namier, who was an arch-Zionist, and he advised Churchill, knew Lawrence of Arabia, and was a founding father of Israel, until he fell in love with a Russian mystic woman who said, you've got to give up all this Zionist, a load of crap, you've got to become a Christian. And he did. And then he gave up Zionism, whereupon the first president of Israel never spoke to him again, and they were good friends. And he joined the Church of England, of all the most bizarre things to do. So that in itself is extraordinarily funny, that you have an arch-Zionist who suddenly wakes up and realizes the whole thing is a hoax. And there's a clear difference between Zionism and Judaism. And nobody can accuse me of being anti-Semitic. And by the way, Semitic includes the Arab races. They can't accuse me of being anti-Semitic because I come from a Jewish background. And my grandfather ran away from Hitler, joined British military intelligence with his cousin, Sir Louis Namier, was fighting against Hitler. And he never knew until his dying day, and he thought he was privy to great state secrets, and he was made an honorary colonel in British military intelligence. He never knew that Hitler was created and financed by Britain, America, and Germany in tandem. And that's some deception. And I'm very optimistic that this network of deception that has been going on for thousands of years, usurping human consciousness, has radical fault lines in it. And just to give you a few quick examples, if you think of this joke of a president called Biden, he has this crisis on the southern border where you've got thousands of unvaccinated people, untested, pouring up through the southern border, and they're chock-a-block in camps, no social distancing, no masks, no nothing. And the poor American legitimate people are locked in their homes. They can't do their business. They can't go out to restaurants. They've got to wear masks. They've got to be vaccinated. They've got to be tested. And these immigrants who are illegal are then spread through our whole of America into the sanctuary cities. Now, people are waking up and they're seeing the ludicrousness of this. Then yesterday I was on a Zoom, a curious Zoom, where a lady who is very sincere, just happens to be Jewish also, she mentioned, and she's contributed to a court case in Britain in which they objected to children being forced to wear masks, and the judge found in their favor. So that's a very good sign. But she drew attention to the ludicrousness of this corona pandemic. In the middle of the pandemic, in the British lockdown, she was rung up by the NHS to say, would you come along and give blood? Now, the woman, being intelligent, said, well, how can I possibly give blood in the middle of a corona pandemic? I could be riddled with veins full of corona, and you want me to pop along and give my blood and infect the rest of humanity? You must be bonkers. And the NHS said to her, no, if you're a blood donor, you carry on. Now, that's just crazy. Absolutely crazy. And people are seeing all this nonsense, and I think there are big cracks, and they're very, very nervous. The WEF, the World Economic Forum, is being cancelled. Klaus Schwab, whose father was a very active Nazi and was close to a key Nazi company, he has now tried to tweet that employers should be worried about vaccinating people, and if they don't encourage it, they could be prosecuted, or words that affect, something like that. And there were so many adverse comments to his tweet that he had to withdraw it. So I think there are very, very good signs. And here in the UK, people just don't take Matt Hancock seriously. And it's very, he's, by the way, the Secretary of State for Health, a key propagator in this pandemic. And the British government have got an official website, and it's still there, saying corona is no longer a high consequence infective disease. In which case, there's no need for vaccines. And it's in people's faces. And people are beginning to wake up. And I'm very, very optimistic that, and Shai mentioned earlier that there is like an acceleration of madness, that these people like Schwab and the British government, Matt Hancock, Bibi Netanyahu, all these people who want to, and Tony Blair, who is an arch terrible man, a man who lied consistently to the British Parliament and caused the death of many people unnecessarily. He should be locked up. He shouldn't be bouncing around telling people to get vaccines. And I think people are beginning to wake up to that effect. And they're getting into a real panic. And when people are in a panic, they make mistakes. And I think that's what's going on at the moment. So I think that British consciousness will, by awareness, shut these people down. And my last optimism is our dear friend Prince Andrew. He is really a debunked prince. He can't, I live near Windsor, which is a big home for these terrible people who are connected with paedophiles like Jimmy Savile and Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, if they're investigating Andrew for his connections with Epstein, what about Jimmy Savile, who is probably the worst paedophile ever seen in Britain? He was connected with Mrs. Thatcher, with the Queen, with Prince Charles. How come nobody says anything about that? Just poor old Prince Andrew. It doesn't make any sense. And Prince Andrew is effectively shut down in a very, very clear prison because people know they don't want their Tesco opened up by a paedophile, a man who associates with paedophiles. So he's really shut down by public awareness. And when public awareness rises, as I think it's going to do more and more and more, these, what we call Nazi type minds, as Shai pointed out, they're really finished. And so I'm very, very optimistic. That's my speech for today.
Well said, Nicholas. And I just want to ask Shai, because I know people are going to be saying to me after this, why didn't you ask Shai about Gaza and blah, blah, blah? It's a huge subject. And as you talked about blood then, I had an interesting thing came into my mind, Nicholas. I wonder if Bibi Netanyahu, just say he had a big car accident or something, and he woke up and someone said, "And for, well, we only had one type of blood, and it was from a Palestinian to give you a transfusion." I wonder what he'd do. It's very interesting, that thing about this big thing. But I was listening to Abby Martin this morning, and she was just reminding me that it's a 2 million person concentration camp. You've got to ask the government, Israeli government, if you can leave. What, you know, and of course the whole background to that is we can't do that in one program. I'd like to have Shayan again. So Gilad last night gave a pretty big overview, and I've got also on the show today a chap called Issa Amro, who was put in prison. I don't, you know, I'm not saying he's, I don't know about all these people. I get him on to speak. We'll see what he says. I got Paul Craig Roberts on the show as well this week. He was in the Treasury with Ronald Reagan. He knows quite a lot about the whole background. So it's, the historic thing is huge, you know. I know that's shy. But what's your feelings about what's going to happen in Gaza? What's your feelings about what the Israeli government ultimately wants? Because I've been told about the dome, the Dome of the Rock or something. They want to build that third temple on there, that you know, from all those years ago, and all those kinds of things. It's a big subject, isn't it?
I love because you managed to throw in a lot of subjects into, and I'm like, where to start from?
And you've got 2 minutes.
Yes. So actually, look what I'll do. I'll start from something totally different, like, okay, you know, Monty Python, and now for something completely different. And then I'll jump back to Gaza and the Israeli scene. So just a little announcement. I mean, Nicholas already knows that. I think also Catherine. A couple of weeks ago, I filed a lawsuit, an injunction, I think, a court order to stop the 5G deployment in Israel, including smart cities and IoT. The court received that paper, very long paper, and he asked from the government officers, which I basically I mentioned them, like 7 different offices. It's not just the communication office, it's the health and environment and the privacy, and so many offices are there, and the court asked them to reply. Meaning, we got a step closer to something. I don't know what, but at least we managed to put a foot in the door, all right? And now we are waiting for the reply from the government officers, and then hopefully we go to court to debate the matter and see what comes out of it. But at least after, I think it's now 2 years since I started this process of filing this lawsuit, and obviously things got mixed up during the last year with the corona and everything for all of us. So also in that sense, I managed to fulfill that, and I ticked the box, and it's been filed. And obviously the next step will be to win it, not just to file the lawsuit to court. So this is just a quick update on that, and I think it's important. And if someone has any question about that after, yes, we can go there. Now, if I go back to what you said, Jason, look, it's tricky to answer that. I tell you why. Because the perception that you have from the brainwashing in the UK and other countries, not just the UK, and obviously also in Israel, yes, but we have a different angle on the subject. So the it's really difficult for me to cope with the brainwashing that is going on in the MSM everywhere around the world. If I stick to the prophecies in the Bible, not the New Testament, the Bible, the original one, all right? If I stick to the prophecies, and 100% of the times the prophecies were right until today, so it's not a bad advice to stick to them, for now at least. The prophecies are saying something really simple. There will be a war, a big war. 70 nations will rise up against Israel. Now, 70 nations, it doesn't mean 70 countries or states. Basically, it means the whole world. So those who are awake and aware from all over the world, from overseas, like you guys, and there's many of us, all right? We need to be aware of that, because the plan is to do exactly that, to fulfill the prophecies. By who? The New World Order, which is actually run by Pharaoh or Pharaoh's descendants, who came to, yes, Rome, who came to the city of London, and who established the at least their military-based or their execution-based in Switzerland. So I would call them the Swiss Nazis, which, again, they are descendants of pharaohs. And this you can find in Sean Ross' work, like a great researcher. So they actually, like Klaus Schwab is from Switzerland, and the League of Nations and the UN, it's all coming from Switzerland. I mean, these things you can check up. It's not that complicated nowadays to see that what I'm saying is based on facts. So this New World, whatever plan of these Swiss Nazis, they want to fulfill the prophecies, to make the world, to create the world, to bring it even faster, and then to establish the third temple, according to them, to Luciferians, to worshiping the devil and the other side, all right? This is their, what they want, because they know the prophecies will happen. So they want to make it before God intervene and make the prophecies happen. At the same time, we need to be aware of something which is really tricky. Israel, I didn't know that until recently, Israel as a state on the Palestine land, as it's called, is on a lease. And the lease was given by the League of Nations in the beginning of the previous century. And the lease is for 99 years. The lease has finished. Basically, if I go to the feudal system, Israel has to give back now the land with its people, with its profit, with everything to the master. Who is the master of this land? So you can say it's the British Empire, right? I mean, the mandate was given by the British Empire. But
it's the Balfour Treaty and all that, right?
Yes, yes. Right. But the Balfour, I mean, this mandate was given by the British Empire to Israel for 99 years, but it came from the League of Nations, not from the UN, from the previous version of the UN. So it was actually given from the Ottoman Empire. So who should Israel give back its lease to? I don't know. It's quite cloudy and vague, but I know that the Rothschild family has established a lot of the, and paid for a lot of the land and other stuff that is here in Israel. So it may be that the Rothschild family wants to have their lease return and the land return to them, which makes sense also if I combine this story, which again, as far as I understand, it's quite true what I just said. So if I combine it with everything we already know, we are in a really tricky situation here, because what are we supposed to do? Legally, it's not my land. It's like private land. It's Rothschild's land. And I leased it, or some people on my name leased it for 99 years, and now we have to give it back. What does that mean? That means it gives them, again, if we remember that they think differently because they are Swiss Nazis in their agenda, in their way of thinking, they think differently than us. They think as kings. They think as bastards, kings, but still they own us. This is their way of thinking, and we are not used to this way of thinking, but we need to change or shift a bit our way of thinking to see that this is how they see us, as useless eaters, as sheeple or whatever. So basically they want to minimize our number, because it's really tricky to, it's really difficult to control that many people. That's why they need the COVID-19, which is also an exercise. I mean, the whole COVID story is an exercise supposed to finish by 2025. And by that number, if we go to the Deagle website with the numbers of population, we see that they want a reduction of population in the UK by 70% or something like that. In Israel by 50%. And we can go to various countries and see their plans. So basically, they want to reduce the number of population, so it will be easier to control the lands that they are taking back to their possession. Now, this is just an assumption, but it goes quite well with what we see here and with the depopulation agenda. I do hope, and this is, I would say it's a message, a sort of a message to the whole world, which I just mentioned before. Those who are awake, we need to understand there is no real war between us, the people. There is no real war between Jewish and Muslims.
Absolutely.
In villages, in the land, I grow grapes. He grow, you know, he gives me milk. We manage. It's been like that for many, many years. And
no,
yes,
border,
there
were... no borders from space. Yeah.
No one.
Go on. Yeah, go on.
No. So, but they want the power that be, like the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, I call them just Swiss Nazis, because the more days passing, I realize that this is what they are, or the pharaonic bloodlines. They want to change us. They want to control us. They want to change our DNA. They want to do so many bad, weird, fucked up things to the human race. But they want us not to know that to an extent. They tell us what we're doing, counting on us being dumb and stupid. And a lot of us are dumb and stupid. We need to be aware. I mean, especially after a year or a year and a half of this madness, and all of us spread information out and trying to wake up people and so on and so forth. But we need to take in consideration that a lot of people will not wake up. They don't want to wake up. Whatever you do, you put the truth in their face, they say, no, it's a lie, and they turn to the other side. So we need to ask the aware one, the awake ones, we need to share and cooperate. We need to share information and cooperate with actions. And yes, it's tricky for me to cooperate with you, Jason, or with you, Nicolas, or with you, Catherine, but to cooperate with fellow Israelis, for example, going out of the cities, establishing your own farm and trying to grow food and do your things as they should be, not as the Swiss Nazis would like them to be. This is our winning card, because soon they may take down the electricity. They may take down the internet. They may do so many bad things, and God will, at some point, God will interfere. And like I said before we started this conversation, I spoke with some people, again, some clever friends here, and they said, we're going to see like biblical magnitude miracles coming our way in the next few weeks, months, or years. We're not sure exactly about the timing. But until that happens, we need to look after ourselves, because those who are awake and aware, we need to cooperate, we need to share information, we need to share tools, we need to share seeds, we need to share soil, we need to share water, we need to share all the things that make us who we are. We are sane, and we like to keep our sanity. So we need to do everything we can to keep our sanity and to look after the next generation, because what they are doing now to the next generation is really awful, and most people do not see it and do not want to accept it even. Us, by knowing it, accepting that this is the reality, let's take care of each other and let's try and work together and share what's really important. And it's not necessarily this video or the other, but it's land, seeds, water, energy, and friendship, and education, like proper education, and so on. I mean, there's so many things. I don't want to go there. But basically, we are heading towards a really challenging, fascinating, interesting times. And my guess is, it's not my guess, it's a guess, is that, yes, it may get worse before it gets better. And we know that. And we need to, as I said at the beginning, we need to embrace ourselves, because maybe that missiles will be flying not just over Israel. And it's just part of the prophecy. There will be war in many places, maybe not everywhere, in many places. A lot of it will be concentrated in this area, but not just this area. So we need to be aware, and we really need to prepare ourselves for, you know, food shortage, water shortage, like famine, and a lot of things that these Swiss Nazis can do, and a lot of things that they cannot do, but will happen because it's part of the natural process or the prophecy.
Well said, Shai. Well said, Shai. Just a quick thing before Nicholas or Catherine. Thank you, Shai. Very, very great. Absolutely. It's what resonates with what we're doing. We're trying to, if we don't create new societies, that can literally be an inspiration for other people. It's like, look, you could go door knocking and you could say to people, listen, you're working all your life to pay your house. You're just about making enough money to pay the bills. You don't see your kids. You don't see your wife. Are you happy? No, most people aren't happy. Yeah. And then you showed them a template of people living on the land, growing their own food, growing their with their own electricity, with their own water, and they look happy. They're with their children. They're with their family. They've taken their lives back. But I think it's very interesting now at this time that, and like you said, sometimes you can wake other people up. And this is an important point to everybody. Sometimes you can do people more damage by shaking them awake when they're asleep than leaving them alone to wake up in their own time. So I think that's very important, because maybe some people on the planet this lifetime around to learn about slavery and to learn about subservience and to learn about the damages of being told what to do all the time. So, and one final thing is the COVID and all these things are literally a pillow which is being pressed on humanity's face. And that actually pressing on humanity's face is calling people to action. You know, sometimes people will only wake up when you actually really start choking them. You know? Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I think what you say is very true, Jason. Hard times, but the phoenix can arise from the ashes. Humanity can, as David Icke says, get off its knees. And if we take one step towards God, our divinity, our divine nature, that divine nature can take two steps towards us. And in the past, you know, the Bible has mentioned the Vimanas, which are flying chariots, flying scrolls. And, you know, we have to do the work, as Shai says so eloquently. But if we do the work, if we take the steps, there can be, if we look off planet, extraplanetary help, there can be manifestations, I agree with Shai, of miraculous nature. But we perform the miracles for God, and then God can step in.
Well said, Catherine.
If I may, just a very interesting point. The reason I got into all this anti-5G stuff was because many, many years ago, what happened is years and years ago, I wanted to find God. So because I was brought up without any religion, I went naturally to the Church of England, and I thought, what a mess. Can God really be interested in this dirge every Sunday, people singing out of tune? I really felt sorry for God. So I went to a monastery. And the monk there, after a long time, he said, Nicholas, if you want to find God, then don't live in a monastery. It's nothing to do with God. It's just a load of old men living together. So I left the monastery, went to a Gnostic spiritual school, what they call a mystery school. And then I met a remarkable philosopher called J. Krishnamurti. Now, he was a man you didn't need to say any words to. There was a consciousness about him that you immediately recognize this is how a human being should be. There was a sense of deep truth. And we talk about love, but this wasn't a wishy-washy love. It was a sense of complete righteousness. And then I left the Gnostics, and I never joined another spiritual organization. But he had many discussions with a very intelligent scientist called David Bohm, who worked with Einstein. And David Bohm really explained the nature of quantum physics to people like me who have no real understanding of the quantum equations, which are very advanced mathematics. And Bohm pointed out that consciousness comes out of a field of energy, and it's like matter. Matter comes out of a field of energy. And that's why in these discussions, they talked about a material process. It's a similar process. And what Krishnamurti pointed out is that there's no such thing as a Shai Danon or a Jason Eliasatos or a Catherine or a Nicholas, that it's a product of the movement of thought creating images in the mind. And the mind gets so attached to these images, which are universal, but we say that's me, that's my personality. In fact, it's an illusion, and scientifically it can be proved. And what Krishnamurti also pointed out in discussions with David Bohm, and David Bohm was considered by Einstein, another Jewish man, he was considered the intellectual heir by Einstein of himself. Yeah. So he was a very intelligent man. And yeah. these discussions about the ending of time in the mind, and man is ruled by time now, everything is tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes. And these discussions between Krishnamurti and David Bohm point out that there is no such thing as a human personality as such. It's an illusory concept which we're totally adhered to, and we live our lives through that illusion. But what Krishnamurti, in discussion with David Bohm, pointed out is that if there are maybe half a dozen really serious minds who are making the transition beyond thought and time, because there's no such thing as an individual, it has a worldwide effect. And that's something Shai calls the Swiss Nazis can't take on board, because it totally is beyond their conception, because they're working entirely based on authority, control, fear, and hate. And so that's the reason why I'm extremely optimistic for humanity. Of course, I don't know. I'm not a special person. I'm just an ordinary human being. But that's the way I see things today. March 2020.
Well said, Nicholas, and I'll tell you what, I'm so relieved. Thank God I am not Jason Lee Assatus. What a relief to know that. Thank God. You know. Right, go on. You know, we got to finish in a minute, but go on. Round it up.
Yeah, I know, but it is important. Well, first, you know that the Swiss Nazis at the time, they tried to recruit Krishnamurti.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, so there's a story, I mean, a real story about that. We won't go into that now, but... you can have a look about it. A friend of mine researched it and published it in Hebrew and English. But basically, they tried to recruit him like they recruited the Dalai Lama and many other spiritual leaders, right? And he didn't want, Krishnamurti didn't want to be recruited. And so something else happened with him. If I just relate to what you said, I can tell you, it's like a little secret, but I can tell you there's already a few groups forming in Israel to do exactly that, using the Hebrew scriptures in a way to shift reality, all right? Now, you can say any prayer can do that, or at least potentially can do that. But now they put these groups of small groups, various people in small groups, they try to do that to influence reality in a specific way, all right? Like they use witchcraft and spelling on us, so we need to use backwards on the backwards that they do, all right? Because they do take stuff from the Bible and the Kabbalah and the spiritual lines for various places, and they use it against humanity and against life and against the Creator. So we are now, some groups here are actually using the same, well, not the same, a better technique in order to counterspell their bullshit.
That's important, very important.
And another reminder to all of us, we need to, and look, I'm not practicing religion, but my belief has grown stronger and stronger in the last 12 years, 3 years, 1 year, 1 month, 1 week, all right? It's growing. And I can see how miracles can happen, and I can see how our consciousness can win this. And at the same time, I want to remind everyone, it may sound strange, maybe coming for me and I'm dressed like you, you know, but still I want to remind everyone, the war that they are leading, these Swiss Nazis, for thousands of years, is against the Creator and his messengers. Mm-hmm. Now, generally speaking, the messengers are humans, or the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, not Eve and the snake, not Eve and other forms of demons or entities or whatever. I'm talking about Adam and Eve. This is the cream of creation. That's why we were created at the end. After everything was ready, God bring Adam here and then Eve, all right? And maybe on top of that, he said, after some time, he told the people of Israel or the representatives of the people of Israel, you will lead the way to other nations, to other people. All right, true, false, I'm not going into that. I'm just reminding us that the war is against the Creator and His creation, against all forms of life, all forms of consciousness which are coming to do good. They want to eradicate that. We need to go back to the source. And if you just minimize for a bit Christianity and Islam, which came after as a monotheistic religion, came after Judaism or after the Bible, never mind Judaism or religions, just the original book, the Bible. You know, you mentioned David Bohm and you know, time, space. And it's really interesting because of the first sentence of the Bible, the first sentence, Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. It says, at the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We have here time, beginning, heavens, space, and earth, matter. They are all, in one sentence, the beginning of everything. God created all this, meaning He has to be outside of it in order to create it, and He's also in every little detail of His creation. So it's really fascinating when you take it personally. You don't speak about conspiracies and all this. You take it personally and you think, hang on. And again, I'm not practicing religion, but I'm trying to think, to freely think about life and what I'm here to do. And what I find out is that there is a lot of truth in the original story of the Bible. And even if I don't think so, it's sometimes enough to see what these, you know, Luciferians and Satan worshippers, Swiss Nazis, what they are trying to do, to think, hang on, if they give so much credibility to God in that sense that they are trying to fight Him, maybe it's time to start believing in God, you know, just as an idea, because they give their war so much energy and it's against me and against life, against creation. Maybe there is a Creator. Just an idea.
I love that. I love that.
Well said, Shai, well said. So we've run out of time, as usual, with you lot. And it's great to speak to you all. It really, really is. And I'll what I'll do is I'll put all those links underneath the show later when it goes up. And just want to say to you all, I really mean it, thanks. I was thinking of a title for the show, you know, and what jumped into my mind was Heaven or Hell, Our Choice, you know. That's what we're being asked to do now, is can we raise our vibration, like Shai said, collectively, and in groups, because it's about team building, and come together with that energy and direct that energy to stop what's going on, literally. I mean, yeah. You know, it's no good just sitting meditating anymore, everybody. That's good, but it's a cop-out, because you're almost complicit in what's going on. Yeah, you can pray and make great differences, don't get me wrong, just by thought alone, but it needs action now, because clearly the trajectory and the feedback loops are not good down the timeline. If we don't stand up and find our power and our magnificence, and the, like Jesus said, you can do what I can do and much more. Well, like one caveat I'll say before we go, it's a good job we haven't got that power back yet, but without that molasses slowness between when you decide something and when it takes place, because at the moment, if we could leapfrog that like Jesus and people like that used to and make things happen like that, there'd be piles of Ferraris and naked women everywhere. We're not responsible now, right? So we got to find our balance and sanity very quickly now, and then automatically that power will work through us and everything will change. Everything.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all for coming on the show. I'm just going to have a little rant on my own just for 2 minutes to show off about my book, okay? So thank you all, and I'll see you all again soon, and please keep me in touch. And again, thank you, Shai, for your live.ahava528.com, a whole new platform.
And it's a great platform. It's basically, you know, forget YouTube, forget the rest. Go on live.ahava528.com or just look it up, live528. Open a channel there. You can broadcast. You can upload videos. You can do conferences. There's so many features that no other platform gives, really.
We must do it without them, without government control. And exactly. If we don't do that, we're in trouble. Thank you all very much, and I'll see you next time. Bless you all.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Right, everybody, I'll just say goodbye to you all now. Thanks, Nicholas. Thanks, Shai. And thanks, Catherine.
Thanks a lot.
You're great people, and I really appreciate what you're all doing, you know. And there we go, guys, you're left with me again, yeah? So just to show you my book, The Emergency Transformation of Human Beings, as the solution to the world's problems, what I mean by that is the emergency transformation within a human being is the solution. Because if we can all raise our vibration and find our wills and spirits again that have been broken, literally, we're like beautiful racehorses. And from when we go to school as little kids, we're whipped and pushed and bullied and browbeated and ruled by fear and punishment and reward. And we lose that strength and spirit, the God strength, if I dare say it, that works through us all. And what would Jesus say now, or Muhammad, or Krishna, or any of the great prophets? What would they say now? They'd say, you're broken. Humanity's broken. And sometimes it takes that breakage and that loss of self to actually find ourselves again. Many people I know, and myself, I've been through hell. I've been shot at in Cape Town, homeless in America, homeless in, you know, in England, homeless in Cape Town. It's sometimes the breakdowns within ourselves and within society that create and manifest and prompt the breakthroughs. I don't know anybody who's in a place of strength who are helping other people, the real people who haven't had a breakdown, who haven't gone through hell in themselves. So that is what I think we're seeing. I think we're seeing a breaking of our spirits again to actually, like Catherine says, rise like a phoenix, you know. And it's a very, very good time. And I'll finish with that one thing about the egg. And I love the analogy. When a baby bird pecks its way out of an egg, I've written about it in my book, the poisons inside the egg build, which triggers the baby bird to peck, or it dies, you know. And that's what's happening. The poisons in the world are growing now. And like Shai said, if we don't create something new and different, we will be herded into a huge prison. And there's a lot of people who will just go along with it. That's fine, you know. But the people who don't want to, and who can see down the timeline with vision, it doesn't take much vision to see where we're going. It's microchips, further surveillance, cashless society, and complete and utter total control. And you could say almost cruelty, you know. This planet's being turned into a global casino mental asylum. And if you think this is freedom, this is not freedom. So if you want to protect what little freedoms we've got left, then that's the way to go, is to come together and create something new. Blah, blah, blah. My guest later on this evening is Issa Amro, Palestinian a spokesperson for freedom, really, and he was put in prison, so we're going to have a chat with him later on. And also, Paul Craig Roberts is coming on the show again, which is great. He was in the Treasury with Ronald Reagan, and he's a great and former editor of the New York Times, and he's a great speaker. Okay, I'll say goodbye, and see you later on this evening. And thanks for everyone for your support. Please find me on Patreon and support my show if you can. Please subscribe to the show as well while I'm still on YouTube. You can find me on BitChute. I'm having problems loading to BitChute at the moment for some reason. Brand new tube. And Brighteon, which I'm enjoying. Mike Adams, his platform, Brighteon, Natural News. Go and see Mike's work. Fantastic man. And thank you to Mike. And thank you to everybody. All the very best. Bye-bye.